On this Wednesday of Holy Week, as we consider many of the events that took place during this great week, we hear of the second cleansing of the temple of our Lord, recorded in Matthew's Gospel, the 21st chapter. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Because of the greed that's in all of our hearts, there is a strong tendency in us to take advantage of situations where people are, you might say, vulnerable. Following Hurricane Katrina, the FBI arrested 600 people for setting up fraudulent sites to try to rip people off, claiming that they had relatives that died in the flood. Price gouging is often a problem that we see taking place at great events. People have a tendency to jack up the price when they know that maybe someone, when there's a situation where you have a monopoly on something. Following some of the hurricanes in Florida, I remember the government had to go after certain hardware stores that were selling power generators, for four times the price that they usually did. Or sometimes when it comes to a wedding or a funeral where they know people's emotions and heartstrings are tied to an event, it's ripe for people taking advantage of those types of situations. We are very tempted by the greed in our hearts, aren't we, to take advantage of things sometimes. In the text before us, we think of what sad irony this is, and what could possibly have represented the idolatrous heart of man more than to take the house of God, the temple itself, and turn it into a place to rip people off, to take advantage of them. The exterior of the temple grounds, we're told, not only in the Bible, but in other sources as well, at the time of Jesus, had turned into just kind of a chaotic scene of money changers and people buying and selling things. A lot of it because of the temple worship that was involved. People who had come, especially during the time of the Passover, from far away, could not bring with them the animals they were going to use to sacrifice. And so you needed to have vendors around. But boy, those vendors took advantage of the situation. And money changers, people came with foreign currency, of course. So you had to be able to exchange your money for a certain rate. Well, that rate would get jacked up during high seasons like the Passover. We're told by a Jewish convert in the 1800s, a Dr. Alfred Edersheim, who taught at Oxford after he converted to Christianity. He goes on for seven pages in one of his commentaries about Jewish sources outside of the Bible that talked about this very problem and how the priests and the high priest just used this situation to drain money out of the people. The people of Jesus' day even jokingly referred to the temple grounds during the Passover as a bazaar. The same problem can certainly exist even inside of the church today. One of the men that was in seminary with me told the story of how he was outside of a business one day and he saw a table set up for a local church, a Christian church. And the leaders of that church were sitting there selling raffle tickets, $5 a piece, with the hopes of winning a $10,000 prize. And he came up and asked the people running this, "So what should be motivating me to want to buy one of these raffle tickets?" They said, "Well, you could get $10,000. And he said, "So in other words, you're trying to tap into my greed to support your church?" There's a temptation in all of us to find a variety of ways to gather money, and sometimes even thinking we're going to use it to help the church, but we need to always think to ourselves, is this really the way the Lord wants this to be done? It's interesting that this all sets up a very unusual scene for us in the Gospels. especially when we consider the typical life of our Lord Jesus. We see him rise up with such rage and indignation. Some said it's the day that Jesus went rogue. A great Spanish artist by the name of El Greco painted a scene of the first cleansing of the temple where we're told that Christ took cords in his hands, probably leather straps, and went through whipping and snapping them. And here we see him flipping over the money changers' temples. You could just try to picture what chaos this caused in the temple and the ruckus and how everybody's eyes were fascinated then upon Jesus. And who is this? Who has the right to come into this building and to do this like this? You think Jesus is so tolerant of everything the way people try to depict him today? He is certainly not tolerant of any evil that is directed against God. Now, just on a side note, later in the week, our Lord Jesus goes into the Praetorium, the great Roman building where he is set and trial before Pilate. And we don't see him act like this before Pilate. Our Lord here demonstrates a distinction of the two kingdoms. When it comes to spiritual matters in the house of God, he clearly, this is God's house, his own house, he clearly goes on a rampage of righteous wrath. And yet, even though the Roman government represented many evils in its day and had done tremendous abuses against humanity, we don't see Jesus react in quite the same way, though those sins were just as great. But when it comes to the Lord's house, his own house, dedicated to be a house of prayer, he acts with this righteous wrath. Now consider this from the perspective of our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ is days away, hours away, from placing himself, knowingly placing himself, willingly placing himself on a cross to have his holy blood shed for all of us and for all of our wickedness and all of our sin, even the very sin he's responding to right here. The temple which he himself had established as the Son of God was established to be a picture prophecy of his work and who he was and all he would come to do, and of the great mission that he would come to establish himself as the atoning sacrifice for all of our sins and to shed his blood to cleanse us from all of our sins. Now let's bring this into a spiritual context for you and me today, sitting here in this holy sacred week. For us today, we are reminded that God, through his word and through the sacrament of holy baptism, has made you his temple. Your body has now become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I need to ask myself, just like the Jews of Jesus' day, have I somehow permitted the temple of the Lord to be defiled by my sin? How have I allowed God's temple to be changed into something that it should not be? And during this holy week, may the Lord Jesus, through his word, take the cords in his hand of his law and go down into my heart and into my conscience and down into the deep recesses of my mind and cleanse me. Tip over the tables in my heart and life that want to act contrary to the will of my saving God. And may he cleanse and purge each one of us in true daily repentance before God of all of our sins. Flip over every table. Kick out every evil thief in our heart by his law, so that we can once again come before his cross on Good Friday, receive his grace and mercy through the sacrament he gives us on Maundy Thursday, and celebrate with great joy the wonderful hope we have in him on Easter Sunday. I invite you to take out your hymn book and turn to hymn number 211, written by a Danish hymn writer, N.F.S. Grundtvig. Hymn 211. And please just speak with me the words of verses 2, 3, and 4. Surely in temples made with hands, God the Most High is not dwelling. High above earth his temple stands, all earthly temples excelling. Yet he whom heavens cannot contain chose to abide on earth with men, built in our bodies his temple. We are God's house of living stones, builded for his habitation. He through baptismal grace us owns, heirs of his wondrous salvation. Were we but to his name to tell, yet he would deign with us to dwell with all his grace and his favor. Now we may gather with our King, even in the lowliest dwelling. Praises to him we there may bring, his wondrous mercy foretelling. Jesus his grace to us accords, spirit and life are all his words. His truth doth hallow the temple. And let us rise for prayer. Grant, we beseech you, Almighty God, that we who for our evil deeds are continually afflicted may mercifully be relieved by the passion of your only begotten Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.